The Navigators is an international, interdenominational Christian organization whose objective is to help fulfill Christ's commission to make disciples of all nations. They individually teach the basics of the Christian life to new believers, who then teach others. They work on campuses, military bases, and among lay men and women on every continent.
Let's take a couple of minutes this evening and just review on Monday and Tuesday. You'll recall on Monday night, we considered the purpose of Proverbs, which was to build Christian character. And we looked at the definition of 10 words that from the book of Proverbs in the first chapter would form Christian character. And then Tuesday evening, we looked at God's plan to accomplish this purpose. And if you recall on the plan, we pitched this toward the mom and dad and the training of their own children. And there were five C's, if you recall on that one. Combined effort, the climate, the counsel, the curriculum, and then the subject of correction. And now for this evening, I would like to consider with you from the book of Proverbs, along with some other scriptures, on the power source which God will help accomplish the plan toward hitting the purpose. In Psalm 66, verse 7, we read these words, "He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves." In Psalm 18, verse 2, we read, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower." In the same chapter, verse 32, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." And then to consider the thought that in the first chapter of Genesis, we're familiar with the passage when the Lord created the earth. And how did He do that? Over and over and over again, in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, we read these words, "And God said, let there be light." "And God said, let there be a firmament." "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together." "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass," and on and on. The power source for you and I to help carry out the plan of God in our life is the Word of God, God's mighty Word. He formed all of the universe by merely opening His mouth. And God said, let there be man. And God said, let there be this. Our power source, the Holy Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, just for the backdrop to look into the Proverbs concerning the Word, we read these words, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Word of God. It is our power source. Turn with me in your Word to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I would like to consider the Word of God from three aspects tonight. Number one, the attitude for correct Bible study. Number two, the correct approach for Bible study. And thirdly, the award. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is the buckler for them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Let's pause again to commit our time unto the Lord, shall we? Again, our Father, we call upon your strength tonight to communicate spiritual truth. For Lord, we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is the teacher of all truth. So Lord, my prayer tonight would be that your word would go forth and that the preparations of the hearts of men would be prepared into that fertile soil that the word could drop into and bear fruit tonight. For Jesus' sake, amen. The correct attitude for Bible study is nothing else than application-centered Bible study. Application. All through Proverbs and all through the Scripture, it is very clear that God gave His Word basically for one reason, and that is to change our lives more into the image of His Son. He did not give us His book in order to increase our knowledge about Him. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 8:1 that knowledge puffs up. So that couldn't be the reason that God gave us His book. He gave us His Word to change our lives more into the image of His Son. And in Proverbs 2, you get a glimpse at this truth. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Application-centeredness is the correct attitude for your Bible study and my Bible study as believers in Jesus Christ. Because it is only as the Word of God goes into a life that character is formed. But it must be approached from that attitude. "Lord, search my heart. What wilt thou have me to do in this situation, that situation?" In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, right across the page, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Keep my commandments. Application. Obedience. And I can remember in 1964 when God got my attention, and I shared briefly what happened, if you'll recall, Monday evening, that the very first thing that God did in my own heart was gave me a tremendous thirst for His Word. And I can remember coming home from business, eating supper, and heading up to my room night after night after night, and saturating my mind with Scripture. But you know, it wasn't until about, oh, 6 or 7 months after that, that someone shared with me that my attitude towards Scripture should be one of application, that the Scriptures began to change my life. Because my attitude was one of basically receiving knowledge about the Word. And my whole perspective of Bible study changed when I saw, huh, God wants to change my life through His Word. That's the purpose of God's Word. Application. In Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 21, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. They are life unto thee. So what is your attitude toward Bible study? Because you see, in Hebrews, we read that the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we're told that the Word of God is able to build us up. But it is only able to build you up if your approach, if your attitude, rather, is one of application. And jot down for your later study, Proverbs 5, verse 1, Proverbs 20, 21, 22, and 23, Proverbs 7, 1 through 3, Proverbs 12, verse 27, Proverbs 28, verse 19, and Proverbs 28, verse 20 and 22. Your attitude toward Bible study should be one of application. Is that your testimony tonight? Is your attitude toward the Word of God one of application? Or when you go into this book, are you going into it basically to receive knowledge? To become fat-headed in order to argue all sides of religious truth? What is your attitude? Secondly, the approach to Bible study. It should be basically twofold. One, a personal investigation, and secondly, just plain hard work, initiative, drive. Back to Proverbs chapter 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, and on. Personal investigation means that you, as an individual believer, investigate just the Scripture. You don't go to books about the book in your primary study of the Word. And I mentioned Monday night that I have been in and out of the book of Proverbs for 8 years now. This year, I bought my first commentary on the book of Proverbs. This year. Because you see, in a personal investigation approach, you get somewhat of verse 4. You get a treasure hunt mentality. And so your approach to Scripture in your own personal investigation, before going to see what other men have written about the Scripture, is one of a treasure hunt. And that is the thing that gives vitality and excitement and life to Bible study. And I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. I am not saying by what I've just said that commentaries, books about the book, are not important. They are. But initially, in your study of the Scripture, I would highly encourage you to use this approach, personal investigation. Because all that commentaries are other men's thoughts about the book. Pre-digested food. And God has some special little nuggets, some special little truths in the Scripture just for you, just for me, that you'll never find in that commentary. Personal investigation. Which brings me to the second point of the same thought. Your approach should be one of hard work or initiative and drive. And that's probably the reason that most people go into the commentaries first rather than the Scripture. Because it's easier. It's just plain easier. It is so easy to go down to the religious book discount house in Atlanta and buy a commentary and read all those thoughts that man spent years on getting. That's easy. But it's a horse of a different color to spend 8 years in a book and digging out your own truth, letting God Himself speak to you personally. And how do you do that? By hard work. Listen to these words. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, an action word, and liftest up thy voice, action, and seekest, action, and searchest, action. All action words, that communicates to me diligence, hard work, digging, for those little nuggets in that treasure book that has no end. That should be our approach. I can remember here just a couple of years ago, meditating on a verse of Scripture, one verse of Scripture, for 2 solid years. Just meditating on it, praying over it. Searching, seeking the depth of that one verse. And I wished I had time tonight. And it's John 15:5, familiar verse. I wished I had the time just to share with you some of the thoughts that God gave me from that one verse. But it took 2 years to do that. It took hard work. It took discipline. It took digging. It took seeking. It took searching. And that should be your approach. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And a fantastic promise following that. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Hard work. The opposite of that is Proverbs 6. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 20, 24, beginning in verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and needles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And again, so shall thy poverty come. And brethren, the same can be your testimony and my testimony if our approach to Scripture is not one of personal investigation and an attitude of hard work, diligence. Those are promises. Those are promises of God's Word, a cause-effect sequence. If you and I are going to grow into Christian character, if we are going to put those things into practice on the plan, we are going to have this book as our power source. We are going to have this book to change our life, our perspective, our attitude. And it will be done by hard work. It will be done as you and I commit ourselves to the mastery of this book. The mastery of this book. Jot down Proverbs 24:13 and 14. That'll be enough concerning that one. The third thing is your reward. What do you expect to have after your attitude is one of application? After your approach is one of hard work, personal investigation? Then, Proverbs 2, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is the buckler to keep them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of His saints. Your reward? To understand the fear of God. To find the knowledge of the Lord. To have wisdom. To have understanding. That's your reward. To have Christian character molded into your life and my life. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. 4:22. Proverbs 5, verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Fantastic award there. A lamp, light, life. All the things that we've talked about on Monday and Tuesday can be yours and it can be mine as an award. But it will only be gotten from this Word. Because this is God's tool to do that with. To mold us into the likeness of His Son. Proverbs 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You know that to be true with your mouth? Can be. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. What a reward. Do you know men like that? Do you know men that you can say, without a click, they are wise men. Their mouths are like deep water. That can be true with you. That can be true with me. That can be our reward from God. If our attitude and our approach toward Bible study is one of application, personal investigation, and just plain hard work. It's not easy. We will also have the testimony of being what the Scripture considers a wise man, as opposed to a sluggard, a slothful man, and a fool. And let me just briefly go give you some scripture and go through some contrast with you. And they will be accomplished if you have the correct attitude, approach toward Scripture. This will be in your life. You will be considered what Proverbs calls a wise man. There are 4 basic characteristics of a wise man in the book of Proverbs. Number 1, a wise man hears. H-E-A-R-S. Man, you know what's such a revelation of that? Well, there is hearing, and then there is hearing, and then there is hearing. And beloved, every place that the Scripture talks about hearing in Proverbs, it always, always, always carries with it the connotation of application. Always. You only hear that which you want to put into your life. And we know this is true. The Savior mentioned this in Matthew 13 in the parable. Matthew 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see, seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And I can remember going through a little time period with Cole, our little boy that you've seen roaring around this week. And I would go up to him and with different times, and I would say, Cole, and he would just keep on going, Cole, and I mean, it got so bad that we took him to the ear doctor, literally, because we thought he probably had a defective ear. Cole, and he just kept roaring off. Took him to the ear doctor, perfect hearing, just perfect. No problem. You know what the problem was? He didn't want to obey. He didn't want to hear. So we put into practice some of the things that I chatted with you about last night. And you know, his hearing just got enormously better quickly. Hearing. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse 7 is a contrast to that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Probably another way that you could say that is that the man has a teachable spirit. He has a humble spirit. Proverbs 8, verse 38 and verse 33 says, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. And it goes on in the same chapter and considers the fool again, refusing the hearing of instruction. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not. The contrast is that a wise man or woman hears. And if you'll recall Monday, my own testimony of why I just love the book of Proverbs is that it's very clear categorizing of people. And all of us here tonight fall into one or to four categories. We're either wise, or we're scorners, we're slothful, or we're fools. That's right. We fall into one of those four. The second characteristic of a wise man is that he's one of perspective. I use Proverbs 6, verse 6, as the illustration of perspective. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. See, a man of perspective will see things before they come into his life, and he will begin preparing. He will begin making preparation. He will be a man of perspective. In Proverbs 10, verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. 10:14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And you know, you get the illustration of Paul over in 2 Thess talking about if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And yet spiritually, we consider the same thing, but we don't think of it in that light. Good night, you know. If you don't work, you don't eat. Or you don't have the benefit of the food. See, the same thing should apply and does apply spiritually. And if you and I are going to be people of perspective, a wise man or a wise woman, that will characterize our life. The third thing that will characterize you and I as a wise person is that we will be able to take rebuke and reproof. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. In the commentary that I purchased, Dr. Ironside was the writer of the commentary, and he said this concerning this verse. The more shallow and empty a man is, the less willing he is to listen to godly counsel. Whereas the truly wise are glad to learn from any who can correct and instruct. The less a man knows, as a rule, the more he thinks he knows. And the more he really does know, the more he realizes his ignorance and his limitations. Reproof will only be wasted on the scorner. I can remember in my own life, shortly after coming around the Navigators, I was still in business, and Dave Dawson was representing the Navigators down at Texas A&M. I was still in business, and Dave visited me one weekend, and he was on his way to Corpus Christi fishing. And his wife, Mary, was pregnant. And so during the weekend, we had just had Cole, and he was out of the crib, and Dave saw the crib, made some comment that, you know, they were praying about a crib, and on and on. And I said, man, Dave, why don't you take this one? We don't have any use for it. And he said, man, I'd really appreciate it. But listen, I'm on this fishing trip, and we're having a one-day conference up in Fort Worth next week, next Saturday. You're planning on coming. Why don't you just put the thing in your station wagon and bring it to Fort Worth? So I said I would. And so the week passed, and so I got in the car with a gang from San Antonio, and we drove to Fort Worth. We walked into the church up there where we were having the one-day conference, and I walked into the registration office, or the where they were registering the conferees, and the first person I saw way over in the corner was old Dave Dawson talking to two or three men, and then it hit me. I'd forgotten that stupid crib. Well, man, I said, I need to go, you know, tell him right away. So I walked immediately over, pardoned myself, you know, and busting in, and said, Dave, I forgot the crib. Dave looked at me, and I don't know, some of you know Dave, but that guy has the most piercing eyes you've ever seen in a person. And he looked at me, and he said, Don, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Turned around and walked off. That was my first, and I mean this literally, my first experience of being rebuked. And I suffered, boy, for my pride hit the ceiling. I couldn't believe that Claude did that. Couldn't believe it. In front of those people. Turning away and walking. But he came up to me later on that evening. And he brought the thing into balance and perspective. But my testimony throughout the Christian life, starting at that point, has been, boy, how I praise God for the man like Dave, like Walt when he was in Fort Worth, like Ron, like Skip, Ron Yark, like Skip, and men like this that love me enough to rebuke me. Because you see, in the final analysis, it is because of their love for us. Because see, Proverbs says, open rebuke is better than secret love. You say you love someone and keep it in you and never rebuke them. Proverbs says you really don't love them. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It is a compliment to be rebuked. A compliment. Never have forgotten that. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, and the poor heareth not rebuke. They hear not because they do not want to obey. Therefore they remain poor. So how do you take rebuke? That is a big one. Because you see, your attitude on rebuke can be of one of pride, and you'll end up in bitterness. So consider that one. That is a big one. Be a wise person in the area of receiving rebuke, knowing that the people that do it truly love you. Well, let me give you one more. I'll skip one and give you one more characteristic that will characterize a wise man. He is a man that fears God. He is a man that fears God. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. I don't know if you people have ever had any experience with produce men, but I spent 10 years in that racket, and it is a racket, boy. It's fast business. There are a lot of Latin Americans and Greeks and Jewish people in San Antonio in that business. And I can remember beginning to walk with God and being sensitive to the things of God and desiring to please Him. But I walked into the barbershop on the Terminal Market there in San Antonio one morning. I got into a religious discussion, and I use the term religious because it was religious. It wasn't very Christian, but it was religious. And then I turned it and began sharing my own personal testimony and was sharing Christ with some of the troops that were there in the barbershop getting their haircuts and so forth. And I remember, about 5 minutes after I began talking, that there was a very wealthy Latin American man, probably one of the biggest produce men in San Antonio, did exactly what Proverbs 14:16 said. He raged and he was confident. I was talking about eternal punishment, and he made this remark that God will never punish him because he has millions of dollars in the bank, and when he gets to hell, he'll buy himself out. He was a fool. He was a fool. I've often feared for that guy, but his whole lifestyle is one of being a fool, raging and confident. Brethren, where is your confidence tonight? See, the only way that the fear of God can be brought into perspective for you and I tonight is in terms of where your confidence is. Do you have confidence in your own flesh? Do you have confidence in your own wisdom? Do you have confidence in your own physical strength? Do you have confidence in your own intellect? Your own gifts? Your own abilities? Or is your confidence only in the living God? He can break you just like that if He so desired. Where is your confidence? That's a big one. The verse I'd like to leave you with concerning the wise man is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. You want God's favor? Be a wise servant. You want His wrath? Be a fool. Be a scorner. Be a slothful person. And it is your choice, brethren. A thought clicked with me, so I think I'll leave this passage with you because it's one that, it frightens me, frankly. Because, see, the power of being a wise man or a power of being a fool or a scorner or a slothful is basically of a choice that you and I can make. And back in Proverbs chapter 1, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Those are tough words. Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose, the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. But then it ends up on such a positive note. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And that's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for you as believers in Christ. That you'll hearken unto the Lord. That you'll be a wise servant where the King can favor you with all spiritual blessings. And that's His desire also. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, tonight for loving us. Lord, you know our own hearts, and you know that as we search our own hearts, that our desires are to please you, to know you, to fear you, to have our confidence in you. So Lord, I pray as we again meditate, reflect upon these verses of Scripture out of Proverbs that are so plain, direct, that you would smite our hearts, that you would draw us closer and closer to yourself, in order that we might have all of your favors dumped upon our lives. We don't deserve it, and yet we praise you because of your grace and mercy toward us. For Jesus' sake, amen.